This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's Colin Cowherd. I remember before I started P90X and wondering why I felt like I had low energy. And, you know, you take your shirt off, you're working out, you're not as strong as you want to be, and P90X came to me and offered me a chance for 3 months to totally commit. Listen, I'm a busy guy. I've got the radio show, the TV show, I'm writing a book, now I'm married, 6 kids, some my own, some not. I don't have time to drive. I don't have time to be on the road. But I get home every night. You flip on P90X, a real workout. It was challenging. They don't sugarcoat it. You got to put in the work. I love how they're committed to better nutrition. You got to eat right. They talk about it, think about it, write about it, and force you to do it from all the right angles. I come home, put in the P90X when I just want to look and feel better and get a little tighter. Order P90X completely risk-free for the entire 90 days by calling 1-800-301-P90X. 1-800-301-7909. Or go to ESPNRadio.com/Colin. ESPNRadio.com/Colin. P90X.
At the KXPN Studios News Desk, I'm Merritt Lawson. Local radio hosts Doug Duda and Big Daddy Tony Davis will no longer have speaking roles on Wednesdays. Due to Big Red Lunch's Loperlink and Bob Jensen, there's just no more room in the show for them.
Au contraire, bonjour.
You know we couldn't keep the guys out of the show. So despite a busy show, the guys will get you ready for all your favorite high school teams, your UNK Lopers, and the Nebraska Huskers. So stay tuned while the guys are in studio for the Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Doug and Danny Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us for this final Wednesday of September. We're very busy. We're going to start the program off with Charles Davis of the NFL Network. UNK Athletic Director John McBride will join us. We'll see what's next now that they have officially joined the MIAA. Now, that's still 2 years away in 2012. So what goes on between now and then? We'll talk with the athletic director about that. Also, Wednesday, that means Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report talk about high school football for this week. So that's all coming up here on today's Doug and Daddy Show. Love to hear from you. 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. You can email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Doug, interestingly enough, last night it was reported for the first time that Dez Bryant, the rookie from Dallas Cowboys, bought a $55,000 meal on Sunday night. Papa's Brothers Steakhouse is where they were at in Dallas when they returned from Houston. And
is that by Bellissimo's?
No, it's a different area, but I know somebody that pays for $55,000 meals all the time. That's because he can. Charles Davis from the NFL Network, he joins us right now on the Doug and Daddy Show. Charles, how are you, and how's the meal going?
not as well as everyone else's who got a free $55,000 one.
My Lord, that had to be quite the spread to throw that kind of cash around, but I guess he can afford it, right?
I guess he can, but one thing that kind of disturbs me about the story, and I'd love to hear more about it, I'm sure it will develop as time goes on, is it sounds a lot like bait and switch. Because you remember the incident that happened with, you know, carrying Roy's pads or not carrying them, and the way I'm understanding the story, and it bears looking into, is that Roy had told Dez, hey, you know, you want to make it right, let's just, you know, let's invite the offensive guys out and pick up the tab. So that happens a lot with rookies, you know, you take the guys out and you do that. And apparently, unbeknownst to Dez, Roy went ahead and invited the defense, too. So that's where the money came in. So just from a long view of it, I'm sure it'll be laughed off and ha-ha, the whole deal. I bet you Dez never forgets this. I think this is going to be one of those things that's going to fester between them for a while because, you know, Dez wasn't crazy about doing all that stuff to begin with, but then you hit him with something like that. I don't care how much money you're making. 55 grand is pretty steep.
That's even more than you can manage in a nighttime, isn't it, Daddy?
Yeah, yeah, you know, I can go up to about 40. That's when I have a problem.
Bring me the crystal. Here we go.
Exactly.
Charles, it's great to have you back on the program. I'd love to catch up with you a couple, three times a year. So many storylines in the NFL, whether it be Michael Vick, whether it be the Bears 3-0 start, whether it be the Chiefs, you can go on down the line, whether it be the Cowboys win. What strikes you after 3 weeks in the NFL as being the biggest story?
Well, for me, it's Pittsburgh, because, you know, so much was said about Big Ben not being there, and how, and the goal was, you know, from the outside in, the goal was, hey, they can get to 2-2 before Ben gets back. They're in great shape. And, you know, based on our, you know, when I say our, maybe the public and us media types thinking 2-2 would be pretty good without your starting quarterback, and God knows what you play with. Well, let's face it, they've won now with two different quarterbacks. Right, Leftwich was supposed to be the guy. He gets hurt before the season begins. They've won with Dixon. They've won with Batch. And they're doing it the Pittsburgh Steelers way. They got back to being who they wanted to be. A hard-nosed running team and a real tough team on defense. Well, they got all the defenders back healthy. That's the big key for them. And they've got Mendenhall running the football and moving people along the front line. So, to me, Pittsburgh's a huge, huge story just because I think a lot of people wonder, can they survive without Ben? Well, they're surviving quite well. And to me, now that you get Ben back, when he comes back after game four, they should just, you know, ascend. They should flourish. And you probably can start Ben off a little slower. You don't have to have him coming back slinging it all over the place. You can go ahead and keep playing the same way and let him get back into the groove before you turn him loose.
Boy, Pittsburgh has three or four quarterbacks, you can say, that know how to manage and win a football game. Why do some of the programs, some of the teams in the NFL have so much problem managing the game with the quarterbacks that they have and have got off to rough starts this year?
Because most of them don't have a defense like Pittsburgh has. I mean, let's just be honest about the whole thing. When you look back last year, Pittsburgh, I think, finished number 5 in total defense, which most teams would kill for. But their problem was they had too many fourth quarter breakdowns last year. That's why they finished 9-7 and didn't make the playoffs. And a lot of it's attributable to Troy Polamalu missing 11 games. Aaron Smith, their starting defensive end, missed 11 games. All right, James Harrison, 2008 Defensive Player of the Year, played all year, but he played hurt and didn't make a big deal about it. He just showed up like a warrior does, but he wasn't the same. And you just keep going down the line. They had a lot of guys that just weren't as healthy as they needed to be. And Lawrence Timmons, I think, is making a big difference this year. He's playing like a first-round pick who's supposed to play. It's finally clicked for him. And that's a big deal for them with the help that they're getting inside, because that helps out James Ferrier a lot, who's a true aged veteran. But now he doesn't have to do as much because he's not covering for the young kid anymore. The young kid's pulling his own weight and then some. And so I think that helps a lot. And that's, to me, the biggest reason why a lot of these teams want to manage games. But you can't manage a game if other people are scoring on your defense all the time.
Well, Charles, Sunday, 22 Warriors are going to show up, 11 for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense and 11 for the Baltimore Ravens defense. And it should be a great battle. Who do you see in that ball game?
Oh, boy, I can't wait to see it played. You know, I'm going with Pittsburgh, and this is weird for me because preseason I picked Baltimore to win the division. So, you know, all of a sudden I'm already hopping over to another team. But I just like the way the Steelers are playing this early in the season. And they're carrying this monster boulder-sized chip on their shoulders without being overly dramatic about it. But inside that locker room, Mike Tomlin's saying, see, no one said you guys could win without Big Ben. They all said you guys weren't worth anything. They all said your defense was too old. He's been challenging these guys for a while, and they've been responding like crazy. And I think they've got one more of those efforts.
Charles Davis from the NFL Network is joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Have you seen this much parity recently in the National Football League? Only three teams are 3-0 and undefeated, and no one thought that any of these teams would be 3-0, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Kansas City. But you got a lot of 2-1 teams. New Orleans already been beat. Yep. The Jets have been beat. New England's been beat. All these Dallas twice. I mean, all these teams that people had going to the Super Bowl and the playoffs have been beat. Is that parity, or what do you attribute that to?
Well, I think it's the normal NFL parity, but you got to throw in a taste of the bizarro world, too. Because let's be honest about it. None of us saw Kansas City at 3-0. All right, those of us who say that they saw Kansas City at 3-0, I want to see the betting flip from Vegas.
There you go.
Because if you didn't cash in on that one, then you're dumber than I thought. Because if you had that much conviction that Kansas City would be 3-0, you should have been running to the window, because money was there to be made on that one. They are improving, but I think they'll come back to the pack. I think it's similar to how Denver started last year. Now, Denver got out of the gate 6-0 and beat some really good teams. And they gassed out. You know, in recent years, Denver would get off to those great starts. remember under the last couple of years of Mike Shanahan, they would gas out and not make it all the way to the tape. Some of those teams that you just don't think are there and you see the holes, trust your eyes early, because right now you're thinking your eyes are lying to you. Because a lot of people are saying, hey, Kansas City, you know, they can go 500 the rest of the way, and they can do this, and they can be 10-6, heck, they can be 11-5. Like, whoa, pump the brakes a little. Okay, just a little bit. Can it happen? Sure, it can happen. Is it likely to happen? I don't think so. In other words, check back with me in about 5 weeks, and let's see where they are then. And I'll happily eat my words. You know, I've eaten crow before. You know, I know how to sweeten and make it taste better. So I just want to see that continue to happen. And let's face it, San Diego's one of the teams they beat. How often does San Diego get off to a good start to a season? For whatever, they never do. Call me in October, and let's see how San Diego's doing. That's when they tend to take off. But their September's always horrendous. Absolutely horrendous. Some of these teams get stung early. Let's see if they can keep up the pace. I think Houston's legit, even though Dallas beat them. Okay, I'm not as convinced about Kansas City right now. Do I think Chicago's legit? I think the way they play defense, it helps a lot. But again, I don't think they win the division in the NFC North. I still think that's Green Bay and Minnesota are still going to be the ones left standing at the end. I think Chicago's going to press them the whole way. It's going to be a little bit different deal, but I'm still not convinced. Let's face it, 18 penalties?
Yep.
18? All right, I mean, Green Bay had 8 combined in their first 2 games, and all of a sudden there's 18? So, you know, you never want to take credit away from a team that won a game, but I got to take a little credit away and say, yeah, okay, let's be honest about it here. 18 penalties? Yeah, that helps you a lot.
You know, Charles, there's so many different directions. I wish we could have you on for 2 hours, break down every team for us. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles are the team that's really intrigued me since they got Michael Vick, and the things he's doing on the football field, really turning a lot of heads. How far can he take this team?
That's the interesting question, because they've gotten off to a nice little jump. I mean, you know, the Green Bay game got them on opening day, but they've won their last 2 since, and it didn't hurt to play at Detroit, not Jacksonville, and allow Michael Vick to really get his feet wet. He's playing really, really well. They're the hot ticket right now, because Washington, I just had them this past weekend. They just lost at St. Louis. There's not a lot of confidence in this Washington team at this time. Dallas is already down a couple service breaks. I mean, there's a desperation win to beat Houston this last week. And when you put it all together like that, you say to yourself, okay, and where are the Giants? I mean, the Giants, Eli Manning throwing left-handed passes right now, trying to make something happen. Brandon Jacobs is bouncing helmets into the stands and then going, I don't know how I got there. I don't get it, coach. So you're just wondering, as you look across that landscape, is Philly really the team to beat? I again say, check back with me in a few weeks, but I like the way they're playing. There's no doubt they're the most exciting team out there, and they're the team right now that's buoyed with a lot of confidence. And when you have that kind of confidence, it can carry you a long way, especially if your division isn't chasing you the way that you would think that they would. But let's see, because I still think Dallas is going to have a big say in this thing before it's over.
Charles Davis with us from the NFL Network for just another couple of minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We're all shocked at San Francisco being 0-3 and Tampa Bay being 2-1 at this point in the season. There's just so many surprises out there. I liked Atlanta. I mean, as Tony said, there's so many different directions here, and it's really early in the season. Who do you think's primed to maybe make a 3-0 run here over the next 3 weeks? Have you been able to look at some schedules, see who might be the hot team over the next 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think Atlanta's got that look about them. You know, that win at New Orleans was huge for them, because you know that's just getting them like kind of a monkey off their back, because they were so close with New Orleans last year and didn't get over the hump, and then have watched New Orleans twice. Super Bowl trophy when last year they thought they'd make the run, and instead they didn't even make the playoffs. But, you know, had consoled themselves with, hey, we had our first back-to-back winning season of franchise history. Well, for them, that was huge, because that's all anyone's ever talked about. Well, they got that done. But now they think they're in that position to go to the playoffs again and make some noise. So I like Atlanta's look. I like the way that they've come together and played. And frankly, they feel like they gave one away in Pittsburgh. I mean, if you really got the truth theorem in them, they'd say, you know, we that was our game to win, and we didn't get it done. You know, you're playing essentially a third-string quarterback.
Absolutely.
And they don't get it done. And that's one they're going to look back on and regret.
Charles, Sam Bradford steps in at St. Louis. Assess him to week 3.
Well, I had that game, guys. Steven Jackson got hurt in the first half, never took the field in the second half. They put the game entirely on the shoulders of their rookie quarterback. Their running game became a short passing game, you know, the West Coast style stuff, quick screens, swings, bubble screens, you name it. All of that in order to try and open up some running lanes for Kenneth Darby later, which it actually did. All right, this is a team that had lost, 14 straight at home, and they said, ride the rookie. You know, Tony, you not believe this. He calls all the protection and has from day one. Normally you protect your rookie quarterback with your center and you know, your old line saying, okay, we'll help you with protections, Rook, we got it. He is the default mechanism. The center makes a line call, and if he doesn't like it, he'll change it. That's how advanced this kid is already and how much they believe in him. If you watch that second half, he made a bad throw in the first half, up 14-0. They went for a big strike on first down after a turnover. His feet weren't clean in the pocket. He throws a pick. Absolutely unflappable. Mad at himself, but never allowed it to get into his head. And then later on in the ballgame, 3rd and 20, 2:52 to go, he scrambles out of the pocket. He could have got a few yards, let the clock run, put the ball away, or, you know, kick it down there. He ends up getting out of the pocket, has a chance to run, pulls up, and drives one to Mark Clayton, who ends up picking up a first down. I just went, oh, my God. This kid, you know, we always use that term, growing up in front of our eyes. That was wrong. This kid has already grown, and we're just trying to catch up to him in a lot of ways. Will he have some bumps? Sure. But overall, I like what I've seen out of Sam Bradford. And frankly, guys, he surprised me a little bit. He's more advanced than I expected him to be.
Hey, Charles, are you in Atlanta then this weekend?
I am in Atlanta this weekend.
Falcons, Niners, so check that out. And, of course, all the work on the NFL Network. Last question for me before I let you go.
Sure.
New England's defense doesn't look very good to me. Is that going to be what keeps them from winning that division and could eventually keep them out of the playoffs? Have you had a chance to break that down?
Yeah, if there's going to be one thing, if I'm looking at right now, I agree with you. That's where I would look with New England, because offense still seems to be fine. They manufacture a run game. They're not worried about it. I mean, Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis was their primary ball carrier last week. It works out fine. They find guys to do that. Defensively, if the young kids grow up, because look at where they're playing. Look what they're playing on the corners. All right, you got Devin McCourty, right? The rookie. You got Darius Butler, second year guy. Okay, Brandon Merriweather's the old man back there, and he's only been in the league 4 or 5 years playing safety for him. But I love Mayo at linebacker. Jerod Mayo, I think, is as good as a young player as he gets. And Brandon Spikes, you know, have you seen the size of that young man? He's the kind of kid, remember when you were growing up, there was always that one kid in the neighborhood who you swore was a full-grown man, even though he was 12?
Yeah.
Right? That's Brandon Spikes. Brandon Spikes was a full-grown man when he was like 9 years old, and always has that aura. We watched him at the combine walking around, and I never forget standing there with another guy, and he just looked at me. I looked at him, and we almost said at the same time, just a full-grown man. That's who he is, and the kid knows how to play. So I think Bill Belichick's bringing along his defense slowly and trying to ramp up later. I can't wait to see around week 12 to see if he's starting to add some of those Belichick elements back into the defense.
Hey, Charles, really appreciate the time today on the Doug and Daddy Show. As always, keep up the great work. Enjoy watching you guys banter back and forth on the NFL Network. And we'll check you out this weekend from Atlanta.
Well, thanks for having me on, as always, guys. It's a pleasure, and I appreciate it. You be good, okay?
All right, you too. Have a great call. Charles Davis.
All right, talk to you later.
Take care, buddy. On the Doug and Daddy Show, NFL Network, he's got the Niners in Atlanta to take on the Falcons. The Niners still haven't found the win column. How long is it going to be? This would seem to be a big win for Atlanta, the way that they have gotten off. But now they take on a team that has not played that well. So check that out this weekend. Also, while you're watching football this weekend, you're probably going to get hungry. Why not save some money and order from our friends at Godfather's? Go to godfatherspizza.com and take advantage of their online coupons. You can save on any size of pizza, and maybe even a little buy one, get one free. They'll deliver it 234-9444, 234-9444. If you're going out for lunch today or any day, the lunch buffet is there, just $6.50. Are you kidding me? It includes the salad bar. Take the whole gang out to Godfather's from 11 to 2. They'll serve the salad bar, all your favorite pizza, monkey bread, little pasta to go along with it. And don't forget, room for their private parties. Full catering services are available. They're open 7 days a week on North 2nd and 42nd Street in the Archway Plaza in Kearney. Godfather's Pizza. Don't forget, online, godfatherspizza.com. Daddy, we go to the Dent Popper inbox. John fires in, come on, everybody. Get off the Chiefs bandwagon. They beat two terrible teams in San Diego who always start slow because of poor coaching. Wait until they play somebody.
Well, they get a week off this week. Then you're looking at Indianapolis, at Houston. So we'll know in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, they don't have a home game for a while. But you know what? In the National Football League, it's been shown that anybody can beat anybody. They have beat three anybodies. They're 3-0.
Yeah, take it while you got it, the Chiefs, and hopefully you can build on some things. And it will be tough to get another win in the next two games you play.
They've also found a way to come from behind and win on the road. So they've shown some attributes already that gets the job done.
Well, they scummed out versus Cleveland. They really did. And with the
everybody wants to be a Chief hater, huh?
No, you know, they've lucked out and got some good breaks to go their way. We'll see if they continue.
Wait till Big Sexy puts a beat down on you. That'll be the end of it. That's all there is to it. Coming up, we're going to talk with Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report in the second half of the show. But next, our Loper Link, UNK Athletic Director John McBride, will join us live in studio. Talk about the officiality. Check that word out. Of joining the MIAA back after this.
There's nothing like cheering on the home team, UNK Lopers. The blue and gold is in town tonight, and Flat Valley State Bank, a community bank you can count on, reminds you to get with the crowd and get to the game and cheer on the UNK Lopers.
The 10th-ranked UNK Loper volleyball team is home tonight at the Health and Sports Center for a Tri-Cities battle with Hastings Lady Broncos. First serve is set for 7 o'clock. UNK hosting Hastings College in women's volleyball tonight at the Health and Sports Center.
Saving money is important, but sometimes spending money makes good sense too. Like when you need a more reliable car, an energy-saving heat pump, or a first home. Sometimes you need help making these purchases, and that's when you need a reliable community bank. You need Platte Valley State Bank. Whether you need a short-term loan, a home equity line of credit, or a mortgage loan, Platte Valley State Bank will help you make sound and responsible choices. They have competitive rates and simple, straightforward programs. You can apply online or visit a personal banker. Good lending choices you can count on. That's Platte Valley State Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Fredericks and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
Sunny skies develop across the area today with a high of around 83. Winds will also shift to the north and increase to about 12 to 25 miles per hour. For tonight, skies will stay clear with a low at 45. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN radio superstation on an absolutely gorgeous Wednesday. But, Daddy, they're not all going to be gorgeous. Fall is here. Winter is approaching. Some cool days that you're going to want to be inside watching your favorite Major League Baseball playoffs, the NFL, of course, college football, the Ryder Cup this weekend. You should do it in comfort.
Well, the good news is Bruce Furniture offers you an in-home trial period. So you see that in the showroom, and it looks so good to you, and you say, well, wouldn't that look good in the basement? You get to try it out in the basement. You know what? If it doesn't look that good, you take it back, pick out something else at Bruce Furniture. Hey, they'll deliver a sofa, lamp, even Waldeker. They want you to make it look right in your room, in your basement, in your living, wherever you may put it. Bruce Furniture makes shopping worry-free with just the right trial period for you. Bruce Furniture, just right for you. Kearney, Holdridge, Hastings, and Alliance for our friends out west. So check them out today at Bruce Furniture.
Hey, Daddy, don't forget to the fans out there that are hoping to see the Huskers in the Big 12 Championship game that tomorrow tickets go on sale for the Dr. Pepper Big 12 Championship game, which is December 4th at Cowboy Stadium in Arlington. Ticketmaster.com has more details, or 800-745-3000. 800-745-3000. Those go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Now, if Nebraska gets in, they're allotted up to 10,000 tickets. So that's the story, up to 10,000 tickets. But again, they start with the boosters. They start with the season ticket holders, and those will have no problem selling out. So a chance to get some tickets to the championship game begin tomorrow at 10 a.m. Well, it's time for our weekly Loper Link on the Doug and Daddy Show, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And by the College Store, 1420 West 24th, with your textbooks, the cheapest textbooks guaranteed. Ask for details. You can even shop online at thecollegestore.com. And we are pleased to welcome in studio the athletic director at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, John McBride. And
you need to turn your ESPN off in the distance, because I'm watching my Reds win and get into the playoffs for the first time in 15 years. I'm distracted, so I have to focus here.
Well, it's a happy day.
Well, it is a happy day. It's been a while, to say the least, and it was pretty dramatic fashion last night. The baseball pennant races are awesome. So
walk-off last night, Daddy, for
Jay
the Reds.
Bruce, yeah.
Walk-off. Well, UNK is walking away from the RMAC, and something that we've known.
Nice transition.
Yeah, you know, they taught me that in the third semester or something one time. John, it was made official on Friday. The MIAA presidents came together, offered, and there was no hesitation in accepting from the University of Nebraska at Kearney. Refresh our memory, was this much of a process? I think everybody was ready to go, just waiting the official stamp of approval.
Well, it's been a process. It's been several years in the making, and a lot of discussions. I think it was asked of me my first year here, and I'm starting my ninth football season, so it was a yearly occurrence and discussion. And I think, you know, dealing with some of the budget things that we're dealing with, you know, it's time to reinvest some dollars from travel into student athletes and take a look at where we were. And it made sense. It's a good fit for the institution with other institutions that are very similar and very familiar to many of the people in this area. And you know, it got to a point where something needed to happen a little differently in our conference in the RMAC toward expansion that just didn't look like it was going to materialize. It would really help us a whole lot. So, you know, combination of things just made it the right time to do this.
John, how when the numbers started getting back to you about the travel expenditures and such, how big of a surprise was that to you?
That's a real good question, the way you asked it. I don't know if I was surprised by it. I sort of anticipated that we would see some significant dollars spent there. I signed those bills when you pay the charter buses and the gasoline and all the things that are, you know, on those trips. So I knew we were spending a substantial amount of money on travel. I knew we were away from the classroom a substantial amount of time on travel. I knew my student athletes on exit surveys mentioned that every year. You know, they had a great experience at Kearney. We'd do it again. Can we do something about travel? And, you know, those things, you keep hearing the same things and you keep looking at the same numbers. And, you know, we know there has to be, we had to do some different things before 2012, when we've talked about a lot of that, gentlemen. And we got our work cut out for us still, you know, to do some of those things. But, you know, we're committed to do that. The geographic footprint is just a whole lot more advantageous to us. The rivalries that we have in the MIAA, I think will, this is something that doesn't get a whole lot of focus, but I, you know, from a revenue producing standpoint, we have the potential to do better with the MIAA matchups. They're going to bring more fans when they come to football games. You know, I think we're moving some more merchandise, we're moving some more concessions, because I think our crowds will be better as a result of joining the MIAA. It was a difficult thing to develop rivalries in the RMAC. You know, obviously Shattern is a rivalry, but when you're such a distance away, you just don't get as familiar with them, and people can't associate with them like we need them to. And when you're trying to sell season tickets, you're trying to go out and ask people to help you support your program and fundraise for your program, it's going to be a better situation with the MIAA moving forward. And that was a big part of things.
Yeah, when we played Regis, I never really was fired up. I got to be honest with you.
I wasn't fired up when we played Kelly.
see.
There, see, that's a daddy. I'm sorry. That was, yeah.
No.
Well, see, you could have said Metro. And we'd
leave it
fine.
To me.
Hey, Tom in Hastings wants to know, John McBride is with his athletic director at UNK. His question is, how does joining the MIAA affect athletic scholarships other than football? Will there be less, more, too early to tell?
Well, I think that the goal will be to improve things across the board, and Chancellor and I both mentioned that. The reinvestment needs to be across the board. There needs to be a commitment, an increased commitment from the fundraising in all the sports and in the entire program. But some sports are in better shape than some sports, and we've talked about, you know, football is talked about the most. It's the biggest scholarship discrepancy and needs to be, you know, addressed, and that will be addressed. Other sports are behind the curve, you know, behind the average, and there needs to be some adjustment in other sports as well. And we will look at those sports and do what we need to do to make them competitive. Process, you know, it's sort of like, you know, I moved here from Florida and it made a cross-country move, and when you make a decision in your career or make a big decision like this, then you got to get a hold of moving companies, and all the logistics of the move got to go into place. Internally, our job now is to analyze where we are, where we need to be, where the MIAA is, and factor all those things in, meet with each of the coaches of each of the programs, have serious discussions about where, you know, where we need to be 2012, where we need to be in, you know, 5 years down the road and 7 years down the road. It's not going to be done overnight. In 2012, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we're going to be fully scholarshiped and everything and be up to par with everything in the MIAA. Probably not. Will we be at a competitive stage? I feel very confident that we will be, and it is across the board. We do need to do things, and not just in football.
John, I guess my next question to follow that up would be, I guess we got next year's RMAC schedule. We play it, and I'm talking football here.
Right.
And once we head into 2012, everything switches to the MIAA. At that point, is there a number out there, a goal that, heading into 2012, we'd like to be at 25, 26 scholarships to start things off with?
You know, and that's part of the process with Daryl Morris that I think it's a little premature to talk about. Yeah, I think we would like to be at somewhere where we knew what we were working with. And I don't feel comfortable using a number because it's tough with scholarship equivalencies to be talking about the same things at every place. I just know we need to make substantial improvement in scholarships, and we will set a goal together. You know, Daryl's recruited and stretched scholarship dollars well. He does a great job of recruiting student athletes. We need to continue to do some of those things, and not just because we have some potential new money coming in. We need to continue to do the recruiting that we've been doing. So part of the dialogue is to say, this is where the MIA is as an average. You know, where do we want to be in 2012? And that's quite frankly not something that we have landed on specifically. We will pretty quickly.
Our Loper Link segment here with UNK Athletic Director John McBride. It became official over the weekend that the Lopers have joined the MIAA. From a competition standpoint, how long before you start, or if you already have, been in negotiations with the Chadron State or members of the RMAC about keeping games as far as, and I know football is going to be touchy because I think, and you can add on, will there be any non-conference football games?
Well, and the key word is think there, because it appears they made a decision, the MIA made a decision to go to an 11-game football schedule this coming year. I don't know if you're aware of that. So philosophically, one could take that another step and say that they're interested in playing 11 conference games in the MIAA.
Obviously, there's 12 schools playing football this year in the MIAA, so they're playing the round robin, right?
Right.
And then we'll get to 16 in 2 years.
Yeah, and one would take away from that the conference is comfortable with playing an 11-game football schedule, which would mean there would be there wouldn't be a chance to have any non-conference games. So that answering your question, it does affect us with Chadron beginning in 2012 of not being able to play them, as the current philosophy model is with the MIAA. Beginning here in October, there's going to be discussions that all the new schools, Central Oklahoma, Northeastern Oklahoma, Lindenwood, and UNK, we'll be a part of as it relates to scheduling divisions.
So where's your vote? Where's your vote as far as when it comes to this? I mean, because basketball and volleyball, you can find places to work people in, but where would your vote be if you've talked about it with Daryl right now and the staff?
That's an interesting one, too. I don't know that I have it. I'm interested in hearing dialogue in the conference. I like having the non-conference games to give us an ability to play a Wayne or a Shadron. I like that. But I can appreciate the fact that how you determine a conference champion will be a big part of the discussion. And right now, if you have 16 teams, and if you, let's say you had 8-team divisions and played 7 games against teams in your division, well, that leaves you with 4 games out of the division. You know, so you may not play, depending on rotation, you may not play the top team or the top 2 teams in the league moving forward. So there's some coaches and some ADs that don't like the fact that you're not able to play everybody and have a true champion each year. And then you start getting into whether you have a playoff, you know, at the end of the year to have the division teams play. But there's some NCAA restrictions that keep you from doing a 12th game. It affects postseason playoffs. It affects a lot of things. So I think there's a way to get it done. But I would really be surprised, and the planning that everybody is doing, including the RMAC schools, is for us not to have a non-conference opportunity in 2012, and we would just that would affect our series with Wayne. I've discussed with their AD that possibility, and you know they're aware of that too. So it's something we got to work through. We're trying to continue to play Shadron, Wayne. You know, even get some Colorado schools, you know, some appearances out in the Denver area and in the Front Range area and continue to keep a presence out there moving forward. But, you know, it may be like a 22-game basketball schedule when you get done with it. That's what we're playing in the RMAC this year. And if you look at the MIA model, it could be the same thing. That only leaves like 4 opportunities for non-conference, you know, situations. So I will say this, though, Doug. RMAC was headed that direction too.
Yeah,
playing more, you know, mainly conference games, and that affected us a lot because of the more trips you make over the mountains and the more trips you make, you know, to play 4 more conference games, really affected us with our non-conference scheduling this year and next year. So I like the games. Part of the argument in the RMAC that was always a rub with them was that. We out here in Nebraska were able to schedule the Waynes and the Omahas and the Fort Hayes and the teams closer to us, and they didn't have that opportunity. People didn't travel to their schools, so that's why they're so driven to play more conference games all
that's
the time.
Bad. That's too bad because that makes part of the non-conference. You know, that way you can have an opportunity to schedule a Hastings, even like the volleyball team is doing tonight.
And I've seen some things from ADs and the MIAA even that have even talked about the non-conference end of things and not wanting to see that be driven out and give us a chance to play some of those games. So that'll be part of the dialogue as discussions begin this month towards the future.
Once that deal goes to 16, John, though, and if you had the eight. If you had an East and West or whatever you had, the NCAA does not allow a championship game to be played. Is that correct, what you're saying?
Well, they do, but that you'd have to play it as your 12th game, and you wouldn't be able to play in the NCAA playoffs, potentially. Because the NCAA playoffs begin the week after the regular season's done. And so you'd have to make a decision when you played a championship game. And there is talk about the 12th game possibility for some conferences as expansions are going through, but we'd have to appeal to the NCAA for that. I don't see that happening. So I think you're looking at a system that this division, I think they're probably trying to match up some schools that are close together for rivalry standpoints to make sure that you play a particular school every year, you know, and that would be guaranteed. And in our case, that would probably be either UNO or Fort Hayes. So you knew you would play one of those schools every year, which takes away from whom you might play elsewhere in the conference. So, as you can see, it's not a slam dunk. And there's some people that feel like that they don't want to divide conference up. and just keep it at, you know, 16-team conference and play it that way and do it in scheduling pods. And I don't know, you know, there may be some support for that. So I don't know that I don't know that they're going to make a decision about conferences and say that every sport will have the same conference divisions across the board. It may be sport by sport.
Before we let you get out of here, it is homecoming week at UNK. You don't have to dress up in anything crazy, do you? But
no, not this year.
We got Adam State coming in. Yeah. Also, the Hall of Fame ceremonies are this weekend, so there's a lot going on campus.
Well, I appreciate you giving me a chance to talk about that. There is the parade is on Saturday. The Hall of Fame inductions on Friday night. We have, you know, five athletic Hall of Fame members, new members going in. And there's other people that are being honored on Friday night. So we invite you to contact the Alumni Association if you want to get involved with that. Game with Adams State at 1 o'clock, and Adams is playing well. You know, we got a win last week against Western. I know we want to play better this week, and we'll hopefully get some people back on the field, which, you know, is a day-to-day thing this week, and we'll see how that goes out. It'd be nice to have some people back out there. Soccer is at home on Sunday. I invite you out to watch a much improved soccer team, and Metro is one of the best teams, and they've been a national champion within the last 5 years. And that's Sunday at 1 o'clock at Cope Stadium. So a lot of things going on this weekend, no question about it.
Volleyball tonight against Hastings gets things rolling at 7 o'clock. And John, we appreciate you coming in and giving us some time. Always a great talk here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Enjoy the week.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
John, I got to give kudos to Coach Munch. What a great start to a soccer season in just his second year.
Well, there's definite improvement. If you haven't had a chance to get out and see it, there's some serious soccer being played this year that we didn't play quite that style last year. We're more aggressive, more fun to watch. And I, you know, he said we'd win our share of 1-0 games this year in close games, and so far that's coming true. He's got a tough weekend with Colorado Mines and Metro this weekend, but the more support we get, the better off you can help that program out at Cope Stadium. So, you know, check out UNK Women's Soccer. It's on the rise.
Didn't take long for them to add to having another winner on a campus. So congratulations. Our Loper Link brought to you by the College Store, 1420 West 24th. Open with your textbooks, supplies, and tons of Loper gear to wear to the games. You're coming in for homecoming. The College Store is the place to gear up. And you can also check them out online at thecollegestore.com. Also brought to you by Russ Smith at CharterWest National Bank of Kearney, offering all types of loans from new construction, home, commercial, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons, they have the loans at CharterWest. Bob Jensen joins us right after this break.
If a man's home is his castle, his deck is surely where he holds court. A century ago, men took to their decks to grease wagon axles or skin supper. Just because you use it for sipping tea or cooking on your stainless steel grill, that doesn't mean you should protect it any less. Use the same line of defense your forefathers have for 130 years, Cabot Wood Stain. Its deep penetrating pigments and oils make it a pro's trusted stain partner. Cabot, our performance is legendary. Visit CabotStain.com.
When men get together, they relax over a cocktail and discuss the latest news from sports to pop culture. Now ESPN and Jim Beam have teamed up to bring this to life with the Next Round, served up by Jim Beam, featuring Scoop Jackson and guests. Just as friends talk sports and news over a cocktail at the local hangout, Scoop and guests do the same. The Next Round, served up by Jim Beam. Check it out on ESPN.com. Search Jim Beam. Jim Beam, the bourbon, says 1795. Please remember to drink smart. Jim Beam, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2010, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky.
It might have started as a little pebble hitting the windshield, and then you see it. A crack spreading right across your vision line. Well, B&B Glass Incorporated will fill your crack.
Wouldn't that be in poor taste?
You got a busted window? B&B will replace it. A chip? B&B will repair it. But that's not all. With B&B's Anytime Emergency Glass Service, anytime circumstances present you with a pain in the glass, call B&B Glass for tint, replacement, or repair.
B&B Glass, located at 922 Central in Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys.
one premium for simplified bill paying, one deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by your local Farm Bureau agents, Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney today at 234-4922. That's 234-4922. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies develop across the area today with a high of around 83. Winds will also shift to the north and increase to about 12 to 25 miles per hour. For tonight, skies will stay clear with a low at 45. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Is this Wednesday?
Well, it is, Doug, and we tell you all the time on Mondays, you know it's bull fries and french fries, only $5.99 Tuesdays. Yeah, you got the 40-cent wings, but Wednesdays at the Chicken Coop.
Kearney and Grand Island.
Yeah, it's both places.
Man.
It's just $5 burgers off the menu. Any of the burgers, whether it's a cheeseburger, mushroom burger, bacon burger, even our Totally Jack burger or Legendary burger. Don't matter. $5 at the Chicken Coop. Stop in, see them. Great food and drink specials. Noon and night, the Chicken Coop. Try some Keno out as well. It's free. Pick the right numbers.
Ain't that the best? John McBride stuck with us
through
the break.
Have you been there?
Yes. I, matter of fact, I have.
More than a couple of occasions.
I couldn't tell.
Chicken tender hoagie for Daddy.
Just real quick, I mentioned about the inductees, but Meg Grossman and Jack Ramey, Dick Buechner, John Gustafson, and I have one more, Darcy Berry. Just a quick note to Dick Buechner. All of them are very worthy of being inducted. The amount of time Beach spends on behalf of this community and UNK and supporting all the athletic efforts and getting events here and everything is duly understated, and he deserves big-time kudos for all he's done, and it's a very deserving award for him over at UNK, and we're happy to see Dick Buechner going into the UNK Hall of Fame.
I'm guessing when he is introduced on Saturday, he'll probably get the most raucous ovation, which he should.
Appreciate you giving me that little plug.
You bet, buddy.
Okay,
no,
thanks.
No problem, John.
All right,
enjoy
guys.
The weekend. Let's talk some football.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Daddy Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report. He's got game.
We head into the second half of the high school football season this weekend, and joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, as he does every Wednesday from the worldwide headquarters of Huskerland Prep, Bob Jensen. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning there, boys. Before we go any further, I would like to echo John's sentiments. Beach is just a wonderful human being, and the guy has got boundless energy, and I've only gotten to know him in the last few years with our work on the Hall of Fame committee, but he's a wonderful man, and I also don't doubt that they will give him a loud and well-deserved ovation when he's inducted, and that's really nice to hear that honor coming his way.
Bob, obviously, week three, week four, halfway through the football season in some circles. Can you believe that, first of all? And second of all, last week, highlight a couple of the biggest games in the state for us.
Well, first of all, high school football season is too short. I say this when we are finding more and more programs desperately short of players, but still, eight games, it does. It goes by in a hurry, especially when we're starting in August, and it does. It just goes by real fast. See, here's the deal, boys. I had a little excitement in Murdoch the other night. Okay, I doubt if I had as much excitement as Duda. Okay, but I had some excitement in Murdoch.
That is true, by the way.
I was there to see Elmwood Murdoch and Bergen play, and that was a real nice win for Bergen. The part I saw was really blah. Bergen, Bergen's got an offense. A couple years ago when they were in the finals, it was all about scoring points and running all over and big plays and all that. Well, they've settled in the last couple of weeks and played two of the top five teams, I would think, in C2 with Aquinas and Elmwood, and held them to a total of 21 points. And if they can play that kind of defense the rest of the way, that's going to make a team like St. Cecilia's set up and take notice there in C2. And the other thing, probably the Outside of finding that little old couple locked out of their car outside the bar in Murdoch, probably the weirdest thing that came across the other night, and it was disappointing, was the Ashland-Greenwood-Bishop Newman game. And I was at that game specifically to see two of the top four rated teams in C1 play, and what I saw was one of the two top four teams and the other one's JV squad, because Bishop Newman had widespread suspensions for violation of team rules, two-game suspensions. It wound up being a 41-0 game, but, I mean, it was a giant asterisk by that. I don't know. You know, Newman will be back, and those kids will be back, but that was surely a missed opportunity for them. On the other hand, Ashland Greenwood is one of those programs, kind of been knocking on the door a little bit the last couple of years. Ryan Thompson's their coach. He's done a real good job. He's got them in position to be a breakthrough team, and they've got one in the bag. They got to come back and play Wahoo here in a couple weeks, and Wahoo has not. I'm not even sure if they've allowed a point yet. So that district, all three of those teams are in that district. That's a stacked C1 district.
Bob Jensen with us on the Doug and Daddy Show from Huskerland Prep Report. We get into this week's games. Last week, the Panhandle traveled this way. This week, Central Nebraska's Class B teams head to the Panhandle. Hastings is at Alliance. Northwest is at Scotts Bluff. Aurora is at Gehring. So a lot of bus, but hey, Bob, Hastings, they have woke up. That Adams Central game may not have been a fluke. They've won two in a row. Can they get three at Alliance on Friday night?
Sure they can, especially if that offense does what it's been doing. I mean, even through all of their troubles in recent years, Hastings has played a lot of teams fairly well, and when they were at their best, they played exceptionally well on defense. Offense, that's been something I've talked about for years, it seems like, because points have been hard to come by. Well, Brady Rutt, Tanner Jones, couple really good skill players, and the line has found a way to give them a little wiggle room, and they produced a whole bunch of big plays. There's no reason, here's the thing, that bus ride thing, that's going to be a lot bigger deal for mom and dad than it will the kids. by the time they get out there, they'll be ready to play. Everything will be fine, and they're on a giant roll right now, and I would surely think that they will win that ball game.
Bob, it seems like every week I bring up this team, but they're kind of back in my backyard, the Holdridge Dusters. They continue to put up wins.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And, everybody's all excited. We're all excited and can't wait to play Adams Central and McCook. That'll be here soon enough. This is the game right here. We'll find out what Holdridge is really made of this week, because they've played some good ball against some decent competition, had their way. Well, Beatrice is one of those teams. They've struggled with injuries. You hear that a lot, but they really have. That Daniel Davey, the Nebraska recruit, he's missed some time. They've had some bumps and bruises at quarterback. Their line has had its problems, but they're they got embarrassed by Aurora. But having said all that, Beatrice knows its way around. Prior to last year, they'd been at least in the state semifinals 4 years in a row. And, they're not going to think anything of this game, quite frankly. I mean, they know that Holdridge is undefeated, but, they've got other fish to fry. They've still got some really good teams within their district they need to deal with here starting next week. Holdridge, on the other hand, this is a big game, and it's not the only game. But if Holdridge comes out of this with a win, there would be no reason to think that they couldn't win out. Now we'll see. We'll see if either one of those things happens. But I look for Holdridge to play very well. That's a veteran team, got a lot of experience. They're surely riding high. Holdridge is one of those places where there actually is a home field advantage, I feel. They've got great fans in Holdridge. Scott Ladder will run everybody through the pregame with every possible statistic breakdown of both teams, where they'll be completely ready by the time the game starts. And I don't know, Holdridge wins it, look out.
Bob Jensen with us for another minute here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Looking at the eight-man ranks, one of the intriguing games is Kennesaw at Shelton, because Shelton has gotten off to a good... I mean, they got three wins, and you could combine a lot of seasons for Shelton to get three wins. They can be lumped in with Gibbon and Loup City and some of the other teams that are turning the corner here. But probably the most interesting game, and maybe the best game, will be Loomis at Bertrand. A lot of people thought Loomis was going to be good, got a signature win over Pleasanton to vault them. But I don't know that anybody really saw Bertrand being unbeaten at this point. Who you like in this game, Bob?
Well, to answer your question, I like Loomis. But now we really are in Daddy's backyard, and you're right. Everybody did think that Loomis could be very good this year. I've told the story. I talked to Dennis Reese this summer at the eight-man game. I said, Dennis, it sure looks like you're going to be really good. And he just looked at me. He never said a word, which is code for we're going to be smoking good. Okay. So anyway, they're smoking good. They're extremely fast in the backfield. That Kalen Anderson's the real deal. Give him a crease and off he goes. Here's the deal with Bertrand. I talked to Coach Streeter actually yesterday, and you know they had some problems. I don't know that maybe they were getting as much as they should have out of their talent the last 2 years. They only won one game last year. Had a whole bunch of people coming back. Let me say this. Bertrand is a really good football team. That game against Arapaho was an important win for them, regardless of Arapaho's record right now. Here's the deal. Talking with him, a guy to keep everybody's eye on. When you're at the ball game, I get the sense that this kid named Taylor Kugler, the nose guard, the defensive tackle, if you will, for Bertrand, is going to be a real important factor. If he can help control that running game, Bertrand's got a shot.
Well, finally, as the horn sounds for Bob, last question here. Outside of our area, a couple of big games that have statewide implications, rating implications this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's one right there in Kearney. There's one right there in Kearney with Norfolk coming to town. If Kearney can get Norfolk to play its game, keep the score low. You know, Kearney's got a chance to go to 5-1. If that game starts to, you know, ratchet up in the high 20s and 30s, I think the farther that goes, the better chance Norfolk's got. Everybody's looking at this Miller South and Creighton Prep game in Class A, and I don't know. We'll see. I haven't been convinced yet that Prep can play with the very best, although they did find a way to beat Miller North. I don't think that's a game they'd want to play twice. And as far as eight-man goes, everybody's looking at Howells. Everybody's trying to dream up a way that Howells could be competed against. Last week, Humphrey got spanked by 4 touchdowns, but Humphrey's got a chance to redeem itself this week when they go down the block. When I say down the block, I mean literally down the block to play against St. Francis. And there's another game. Humphrey, everybody wants to believe that Humphrey's a top 10 team. It's tough to measure against Howells. We'll have a lot better idea after they play St. Francis.
Bob, you're smart, you're good-looking, and damn it, people like you. Thanks so much for the time.
You know, I just didn't get enough of that growing up, Daddy. Just don't feel like you got to stop now.
Robert, okay? We'll talk to you Friday, buddy. Stay care. Take care, and take one of those jiggling things in case somebody locks their keys in the car.
That's right. That's a story for another time.
All right, buddy. Take care. And for appearing on today's show, a shake weight goes out to Bob Jensen at Huskerland Prep. Hey, folks, don't forget at Meadowlark or I was out there, by the way, yesterday at Meadowlark Hills, and I actually made a putt. At Meadowlark Hills yesterday. It was pretty awesome. And you know why?
You're going back out there today?
Because I'm not leaving them short.
Oh, I got you, because you're on the protein shakes at Complete Nutrition. You're taking V-Core, highest protein and amino acid ratio for absorption, energy, and recovery. Maintains and hardens muscles. Only 120 calories.
Is that what that was?
1 gram of sugar, 20 grams of protein. I tell you what. You can go to the Titan, you can go to the Goliath, whichever one, not sure. They have trained professionals. They'll set you up. Complete Nutrition, just north of Sun Mart in Kearney. Hey, a new store is coming to Grand Island soon. Call them today, 308-338-1FIT, or online at CompleteNutrition.com.
Complete Nutrition. Back after this.
If you're a guy over 30 years of age, listen up, Charger. Is your stamina gone when you hit the gym? Do you keep gaining weight every year? Attack the fat, build lean muscle for a stronger core, and increase your stamina with the new Charger Pack found only at Complete Nutrition. Charger. For guys over 30, the Charger Pack recharges your natural testosterone levels back to when you were young and peaking physically. The result is a lean, mean core and an adolescent supply of energy and stamina. Plus, with the new Charger Night formula, say goodnight to daily stress and fatigue as your muscles recharge to burn fat while you sleep. So if you want to naturally build lean muscle and replenish your energy and stamina, get to Complete Nutrition and recharge with the new Charger Pack.
Complete Nutrition is located in Kearney at 41st and 2nd Avenue north of Sunmark. For more information, call 338-1FIT. That's 338-1348. Or on the web at CompleteNutrition.com.
A message to all of you who don't have blazing foot speed and supernatural strength. You're probably not going to get a football scholarship. but you do have a chance to win some tuition this college football season in Dr. Pepper's $1 million tuition giveaway. Go to drpepper.com. Tell us why you should be one of the winners. There's nothing like a free ride. There's nothing like a pepper. No purchase necessary. Go to drpepper.com for details.
When pain strikes, put on a Salon Pause pain relief or arthritis patch and join the pain-free movement. Salon Pause is the only FDA-approved over-the-counter pain relief patch. Two powerful active ingredients go right where it hurts, reducing inflammation and relieving mild to moderate pain for up to 12 hours. Millions are joining the pain-free movement. Now, it's your turn. Salon Pause.
Salon Pause.
Available at CVS Pharmacy, Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Duane Reade.
When I told my buddies my starting quarterback in my fantasy league was going to be Matt Schaub, they all laughed. Well, me and my buddies went to Cunningham's Journal like we do every week, practically the ultimate place for sports fans. You can catch all your players on one of their bajillion screens. Husker football every week, awesome food and drink specials, and the beer's so cold. Anyways, we're watching the game on the 10-foot screen. There was Matt Schaub tearing it up, threw for three touchdowns, even ran for one. And guess who's laughing now? So sports fans, there's only one place to be time and time again. That's Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney. Nothing gets the heart pumping more than pulling in a master angler bass or standing 20 yards away from a huge buck or even a boat full of college girls sitting in your new boat. But it all starts at the boathouse in Grand Island. From live bait lures and boats to hunting decoys, scents, calls, and blinds, the boathouse offers you the supplies to be successful this season. And don't forget, ask Tim about winterizing your boat. Stop into the boathouse today, North Highway 281 in Grand Island, where the fun season never ends.
Sunny skies develop across the area today with a high of around 83. Winds will also shift to the north and increase to about 12 to 25 miles per hour. For tonight, skies will stay clear with a low at 45. I'm weather meteorologist Paul Trobley. Right now, 70.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Oh, it is lunchtime. Why not go take your shot at $1 million? You could do it over the lunch. It was a beautiful day yesterday, a beautiful day today at Prairie Hills Golf Course in Pleasanton, where 20 golfers that get closest to the hole will qualify for that $1 million shootout coming up on Friday night, October 1st at 6 p.m. You can start any day, 8 a.m. $2, you take a shot. You like it? Okay. You don't like it, or you want to put too close? Here's another $2. Here's another $2. The golfer closest to the hole during the qualification will win a membership for next year, valued at $1,000. Each shot costs $2, and every time you buy a shot, you get entered into a drawing for a free membership. And then if you make the shot on Friday, $1 million. All you have to do is come to Prairie Hills Golf Course today through Friday, get qualified. It could be your day. And get qualified for that $1 million shootout Friday night at 6 o'clock. Best of luck, folks. Head out there. Take your golf clubs. Put something close. Daddy, UNK volleyball team hosting Hastings tonight. Hastings won last night over Midland Lutheran in straight sets. Leah Dostal, player of the week. She had 9 kills last night, balanced attack. They're starting to play some better volleyball. They'll get tested tonight. Huskers are in Oklahoma. You can hear it on the Breeze, 94.5 FM.
Yeah, I think a lot of people getting in the heart of these conferences, you know, you mentioned Big 12 volleyball, getting into the heart of it. We'll see if Nebraska can stay unbeaten here for a little while in there, especially I think Texas and Iowa State play tonight as well.
Yeah, some big-time volleyball. Huskers host Texas with no football on Saturday in Lincoln. It's an afternoon game at 3:30, and it'll also be televised. Daddy, we talked a little bit. Bob alluded to it. There is a game that won't be played this weekend because of lack of numbers. Heartland Lutheran out of Grand Island was to play Pleasanton, and the bad news is Pleasanton won't get a game and Heartland Lutheran won't get a game because they can't field a team. They could only suit 8 players, and Coach Knott says, you know what, I don't know if that we can take that chance. They had 14 to start the season. At least one, he told the Grand Island Independent, academically ineligible. Couple of injuries. In fact, midway through the fourth quarter last week against Spalding Academy, they had to stop the game because they didn't have enough players to play in a 52-19. I mean, it wasn't 80-0. I mean, they were playing, and they ran out of players, and that's just – it happened to Litchfield a few years ago, and it's just a sick feeling. It is a sick feeling that you just can't go on because you don't have the numbers.
Well, you're right. I don't know what you expect the other team to do. I know it's a sick feeling for Pleasanton saying, hey, we need to continue to get better if we're going to make a run in the playoffs, you know, towards getting to Lincoln.
Yeah, you don't want another week off.
No, you don't want to. You're tired of practicing.
You only got eight games to begin with.
Right.
You don't want a week off, and it doesn't sound like they will be able to reschedule that. So that's unfortunate.
I don't know if there's anything else you can do about it. It sucks for everybody involved. I think that's pretty simple.
I think we should just make it pleasant tonight at O'Malley's. Well, it'll make everybody feel better.
Come on down.
That's right. Or in this case, just right there on Central Avenue.
I think it's a perfect opportunity.
Because Wednesday night, a beer and burger night at Patty O'Malley's, the spot for good times every Wednesday. $2 burgers, $1.50 fries or onion chips. And $1.50 draws from 5 to 8:30. You can enjoy Burger Night tonight and every Wednesday night at O'Malley's. It's their stimulus package, and it makes you feel better, too. Come down and enjoy happy hour. Say hi to Bethany, Shannon, and all the other guys and gals that are working down there. But we don't like to mention the guys' names because that just seems weird.
Well, I don't drink beer often, but when I do, I drink Dos Equis. They've got it on tap, Patty O'Malley's, in the downtown Kearney Center.
I just want you to know that does not at all make you sound more intelligent.
Great commercials, by the way.
Although, the last time I was at O'Malley's, I ran into some very intelligent conversation across the board.
I bet you did.
Patty O'Malley's. Check it out, folks. $1.50 fries and onion chips, $2 burgers, $1.50 draws tonight and every Wednesday night from 5 until 8:30. Merritt, you've been awful quiet. We haven't let you talk on the show lately. You got anything to say?
Not really.
That's why we don't let you talk on the show. You know, something else we haven't talked about on the show lately, Daddy, is NASCAR. So let's keep that string going. All right.
Fair enough.
Let's do that. Hey, we want to thank everybody that chimed in on the Doug and Daddy show today. We didn't even have to talk about the Nebraska quarterbacks, Tony.
No, you know, I think that's great for everybody. A day away from that. You know what? I did check my information out. Everybody keeps asking, what do you think the line's going to be for K-State? The numbers that I have matched up, according to my publications I received, look like Nebraska will be about a 10-point favorite going to Manhattan.
Who would you take?
Wow, after last week? It'd be tough to throw down a whole bunch on the Huskers, wouldn't it?
Well, we want to thank the folks for joining us today. Charles Davis from the National Football League Network. That's the NFL Network. Bob Jensen from Huskerland Prep Report. UNK Athletic Director John McBride. Among our guests tomorrow, it's Thursday. Joe DeMeo, FantasyPlayersEdge.com. Email all your questions for Joe. And Tri-City Storm head coach Drew Schenick joins us on the show tomorrow. Their season begins at home this Friday and Saturday.
Hey, we'll see you tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show, 1416 Kearney, 1550 in Hastings.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.